So turn in your Bibles to Hebrews 11. I did preach a message from this passage some years ago here. Pastor Matt reminded me of that. I didn't remember it. So anybody want to repeat that message that I gave last time? Yeah, so we're okay. But actually, the focus is going to be different. That was more on faith, and this is going to be more on Hebrews 11:6, where we're talking about the rewards of Christ, the rewards that we find in the gospel from Christ. But we are going to kind of start with verse 1 there and think about faith for a second. This is a little bit of a thinking message. I want you to use your brain. Love God with your brain this morning and think through the implications of these things. He's ready. All right. That's exciting. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. So think about faith. Think about faith. So if we go down, my main verse this morning is, without faith, it is impossible to please him. So to start that logically, we're going to start, well, what is faith? What is faith? Who are we having faith in? And so our faith is in God. That's what he's talking about there. And then we get to read down through and listen to these heroes of the faith. This is kind of that heroes of the faith chapter that we have there. Some interesting stories. We could spend a lot of time on those individual ones, but I would encourage you actually this week to read through some of those stories and read the complete stories of some of the ones that are referenced there. One that I just keep thinking about is Noah. Can you imagine working on an ark and it's like never rained before for a long time? I have a hard time working on something for like 5 minutes if I'm not sure it's going to work out. But he had faith, right? Faith that this was what he was supposed to be about and get this job done. And he was committed to that for a long time. And he was rewarded. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning the events yet not seen or unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark, saving his household. So this morning, I want to ask you, do you have faith? How is your faith in the Lord? Because, and it seems like a little bit of an aggressive question. I mean, we're at church. You're like, I'm at church. Of course I have faith in the Lord. I found this quote when I was studying. I don't know if you use the Bible Hub. I think it's a great little online resource because you can hit on the commentary part and it brings up a bunch of commentaries on those specific passages that you're studying. And so my hunch with this is that Hebrews 11:6, we must believe that God is and that he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. But the first part of that is, do we actually believe that he is? And so I think if you looked at our symptoms and the things we struggle with, I think it's obvious that we do struggle to place our faith in Christ. And where we're going to get to is that we believe that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Do you believe that this morning? To ask yourself that question. And then if you look at how you live your life, does it reflect that belief? Does the way that you live your life reflect your faith and confidence in the Lord? I was listening to Alistair Begg on the way. He's got a great little podcast, and he was talking about Christians that wobble. And I thought that's probably like what a Scottish person would say, wobble. I don't think we say wobble or waver in our faith. And I wobble sometimes or waver. It's obvious because I put more faith in the things that I see than some of the things that are unseen. But faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not yet seen. And then we had this story, these stories of different people that did things that really didn't make sense without faith in something that they could not yet see. So my questions to you are, do you have faith in Christ? Now, some of you might be unbelievers. or you might know unbelievers, and how can you encourage them? You would want to share your faith with them. We need to confess that we believe in Him. We confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts that Jesus Christ is Lord. And then do we live like that? Blaise Pascal said this, "In order to make men happy, it must prove to him," being that man, "that there is a God, that we ought to love Him, that our true happiness is to be in Him. Our sole evil is to be separated from Him. It must be recognized that we are full of darkness, which hinders us from knowing and loving Him, and that thus, as our duties compel us to love God, our lusts turn us away from Him, and we are full of unrighteousness." You think of when Moses was on Mount Sinai and he was getting the Ten Commandments. What happened? It's okay if this is interactive. What happened, Molly? Perfect. They were tablets. That's it's fun how kids interpret these things in these new language we have about tablets. Yes, they were stone tablets. Maybe that could be like a new brand, you know, stone tablets instead of Apple tablets or something like that. Yeah, so you know, Moses leaves and goes up to Mount Sinai and he's meeting with God. I'm sure it kind of was somewhat obvious that something was going on, you know, with this mountain, not to mention all the things that had happened over that, you know, relationship there with Moses leading the people and all that. And they're like, "Oh, we got to have something. We got to have something we can look at. Let's make a calf, you know, out of gold, and we'll worship that thing." Now, how do we do that in our lives today? How do we do that in our lives today? Maybe it's tablets, you know? We get distracted by things pretty easy. And so Pascal is saying here, and in this verse, we must believe that God is, and also understand that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So really, this is an exciting message because we think about the rewards that are in Christ, the good treasure that we hope for. Now, what are some of the things we hope for in Christ? I'll make this a little more interactive that way. Peter, what do you hope for in Christ? Why are you a Christian?
Go to heaven.
Absolutely. Peter's, he's like, signed up. He's like, "I want to go to heaven when I die." Is that bad? Oh, you're selfishly motivated. That's fine. There's so many rewards of Christ in the Scriptures. We're going to go through Proverbs. We're going to talk about the Beatitudes and some of the things in here. It is fine to be motivated by the good gifts that are offered to us, the Christian. Is it not? But I think sometimes we're like hesitant to be excited about that. Like, well, you're a Christian because you get to go to heaven. What about just because? It wouldn't be in there as a reward if it was wrong to be excited about that. So amen that you're excited that when you pass away, you're going to be going to heaven. That's great, because otherwise you'd be focused on other things that are around. So my hunch with this, and I was just thinking about this before I read this quote by Alistair McLaren, was that I think sometimes we really struggle in our faith. That's where we're at. And so this is what he said, and this was this was 1826. This was a long time ago, right? Well, he lived 1826 to 1910. Not sure when he wrote this specifically. But this is what he said. "We seek what we desire." Think about that. We seek what we desire. "Too many of us do not wish God and would not know what to do with Him if we had Him, and would be very much embarrassed if it were possessed we possess the full blessings which come along with Him, to be entrusted to our slacking hands and our unloving hearts. Brethren, we call ourselves Christians? Let us be honest with ourselves and rigid in the investigation of the thoughts of our hearts. Is there a wish for God there? Is there an aching void in his absence? Or do we shovel cartloads of earthly rubbish into our hearts and thus dull the desires that can be satisfied only by him? I mean, it sounds like he's talking about Amazon or something. We shovel cartloads of earthly rubbish into our hearts and thus dull the desires that can be satisfied only by him. These are not questions to which anyone has a right to expect an answer from another. They're not questions that any Christian man can safely shrink answering to himself and to God. The measure of our seeking is actually settled by the measure of our desire. So do you desire God? Do you have faith in God? And can you see the results of that by the way you live and what you're excited about? We just came through Christmas, and it's easy to just get so distracted by consumerism and what we want instead of being excited about what Christ did for us. So let's look to some of the rewards of Christ that we see in the scriptures. Turn to Matthew 5, 2 through 12. I'm not going to read all of these, but I'll give you a second to turn there. And he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, and they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, and they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad. Your reward is great in heaven," like Peter said. "For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So we can see in the scriptures that there are so many rewards of Christ. One little exercise I encourage is turn over to Proverbs. Turn to Proverbs 3 through 12. And I'm going to read down through these, but I want you to circle or write down or at least remember. And I'll ask for some interaction here. Rewards that you see mentioned in this passage. Verse 3. "Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of man." Do you see it? "Trust in the Lord with your whole heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and the first fruits of your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves the one he loves as the father, the son in whom he delights." I remind my kids of that. I was thinking about another way of this, you know, putting this as an illustration. Pretend for a minute you're in You're in Alaska. Anybody been to Alaska? Did you like it?
Beautiful.
Okay. You're in Alaska. You've rented an Airbnb. It's on the side of a hill. It's in August, because that's when blueberries are ripe in Alaska. I researched this. Maybe it's overlooking a glacier, and you're on the hillside. You've got your Airbnb. There's a pond. It's beautiful. It's tranquil. It's idyllic. And you're picking your blueberries. You're going to make some, what are we going to make? Blueberry pie. That's what I thought, too. Anybody put blueberries in their oatmeal? I had some this morning. And so you're picking these blueberries, and you're filling your basket, and you've just about got the basket full, and you're turning to go back to your little Airbnb that you rented, and you're so excited about the blueberries that you have, and you look down the row, and there's a bear. And it growls. And it looks right at you. And then it stands up. And it growls some more and starts to approach. It's only 75 feet away. They say a bear can clear that in like 10 seconds or something or less. Like, now, what would be your response? What would be your response? Run? Give them the berries. Yeah, that's right. Would you like these? I'm not sure if brown bears are negotiators, but you know, perhaps at least you have something to offer, right? Now, I think that our faith in the bear at that point would be pretty much 100%, right? Anybody going to be standing there and be like, now, I don't know. I don't know if he has it in him. Like, maybe this is a weak bear, even though he's 9 foot tall when he stands up and he growls at me and shows his teeth. I'm not sure if I believe all those stories that bears can eat you. I'm grumpy about what I've heard about bears. I'm bitter over that. So I'm just going to kind of ignore the bear because of the bitterness that I have towards bears, right? Are any of these thoughts going through your head at this point? No, not at all. Your faith in the bear is 100%. You're either running or playing dead, which seems very difficult to do. I think I would struggle with that one. I would be eaten on the run is probably what would happen. I don't know if I could stand there. Now, what happens before God? We stand there with the scriptures in hand, reading what we know, and we're like, you know, but is God really a thing? You know, is there really a punishment? And I don't like how he said this verse, so I'm kind of like grumpy about that, so I'm not going to listen to the whole scriptures. I'm going to cut out some parts I want. This is the God that breathed out the universe, that just created us with his word. And we're standing in front of him doubting. We wouldn't do that to a bear. Wouldn't even cross our mind. But to the creator of the universe, we stand there in doubt. And then we, on our own terms, start to argue with God and say, well, I don't think you're fair. I think you're too harsh. Why this? Why that? And I think what that reveals, like this author, this from, you know, the 1800s there, he goes, too many of us do not wish God. Like, we don't really believe. When Noah was told by God to do this thing, he did it. And Abraham, and you have Enoch in there, cool story, right? It doesn't tell us a lot about him, but he was just whisked away to heaven, commended in his faith. So that's a challenge. But I think part of that, we go back to that verse that we're studying this morning, is we believe that God is, and we believe that he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Are you excited about the rewards of Christ? When you read down through these Beatitudes, are you like, Those are mine. I can get excited about those things. Blessed are, and then that list that we have. And there's so many more in Scripture. So when we read down through Proverbs, start to read Proverbs and circle all the rewards of following after Christ. This week in your devotions, read through and just circle the rewards that are offered to you by Christ. I thought this was neat, kind of confirmation of some of this thought here. If you look down at Hebrews 11, 25 through 26, talking about Moses, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. He was looking to the reward. Are you this morning looking towards the reward, willing to have things go not as ideal here because you're excited what they'll be there? Now, you might not get your reward here on earth. Like, it might be in heaven, Peter. But there are rewards on earth as well. It doesn't mean you're going to be rich. You might be poor. It doesn't mean you're going to be healthy. You might have cancer. But you can find Christ and find joy in Christ no matter the situation. And Paul's writing is clear about that. Whether in life, whether in death, whether in health, whether in sickness, Christ cannot be taken from me. I can be excited about that and motivated by that and be excited about the rewards that we find in Christ. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. So what do we do if we get to this and we're like, but I do like the treasures on earth. I struggle in my faith. I'm not in this mindset on a consistent basis. You're in good company. Me either, right? Because we could get this, we're like depressed now. We're like, oh, you know, I get excited about my truck, or, you know, Peter gets excited about a new hammer at work, or I don't know what it is, but something. I always pick on Peter. It's just normal. Right? We get consumed by the things we have right in front of us. And this is hard. It's like we have in the beginning, right? It's the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things what? Not seen. But what do we have in front of us? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We are here at church hearing the Word of God, hearing this played out. And we have God's Word. We can open it up. Read Nehemiah this week. Read all the blessings and the amazing things that happened in that story. And then think, same God. I've got the same God. Of the same salvation that Nehemiah had and those other people that we have in Hebrews 11 and throughout the Scriptures. But Romans 10, 17, circle that one. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the words of Christ. The goal, what's the goal? The goal is to glorify God by treasuring Him and seeking Him. It is okay to be excited and full of joy for the rich rewards that He offers His sheep, His children, His sons and daughters who are in the faith. Love, live, and find inexpressible joy in Christ by believing in Him, having faith in Him, and believing He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I read this little note from Spurgeon. It was edited by Begg, and Christian, meditate much on heaven. It will help you press on and to forget the difficulties of the journey. The veil of tears is but a pathway to a better country. This world of woe is but a stepping stone to a world of bliss. Hebrews 11:10, a paraphrase, prepare us, Lord, by grace divine, for thy bright courts on high, and bid our spirits rise and join the chorus in the sky. What do we do if we do not treasure His reward? You be honest with it, you confess that, and you cry out for help. Psalms 21, 1 through 7, and you're really just in the Psalms in general, what do we find David doing? Crying out for help. talking about his inability to solve the situation and crying out for God's help. We see that many times in Scripture. And then the Lord responds. David says here in this passage, "O Lord, in your strength the king rejoices, and in your salvation how greatly he exults. You have given him his heart's desire and not withheld a request from his lips. You meet him in the rich blessing. You set a crown of fine gold upon his head. He asks life of you, and you give it. Length of days are forever and ever. His glory is great throughout your salvation, splendor and majesty bestowed on him. For you make him most blessed forever. You make him most blessed forever. Make him glad with the joy of your presence." Are you glad for the presence of Christ? Psalms 19, let's kind of wrap it up with that. It's just beautiful text here. 7 through 11 talks about the benefits we find, the rewards we find in Christ. "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And more desired than fine gold, even than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and dripping from the honeycomb. Moreover, your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward." Do you believe that this morning, dear friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, church family? Do you believe that in keeping them, in keeping the Scriptures, in cherishing Christ, in desiring him and following his precepts and his laws and his commandments, that there is rich reward? Like I said, there might be tears here, but there are rewards. I mean, heaven itself is a great reward. So I would encourage you this week to read the Scriptures and start to underline and circle whatever it takes and highlight those rewards that you see in the Scriptures for the Christian that fellowships with God. If you feel like you're not there and you struggle with this, you struggle to keep Christ front and center in your life, then I think you just cry out for help. That's what the Scriptures say to do. If you want something, ask for it. And what nobler of a thing than to ask Christ to help you be more committed to him. Amen.